Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 187, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy, turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. And what follows? Psalter 187, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Philippians 2, the verses 1 through 16. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Philippians 2, the first 16 verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth a word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Thus are the scripture readings. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal and almighty God, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, we have sung together out of thy word, and that thy loving kindness, that it is good and free, that it is so needful, and that by thy free and sovereign grace, we may become partakers the work of a triune God, of that loving kindness. It is pleased thee in this evening, on this Lord's day, that the doors of thy house have been opened by renewal. Then also on this day, then by renewal, thou hast made a great difference where there is no difference. Many upon this world who had a desire to go with the multitude to keep holy day in thy house have spent this day in solitude. Many different reasons, a sick bed, a deathbed, in an institution of mercy, persecution, and the reasons are manifold. And then we are so privileged and all, Lord, thou hast declared in thy word that it shall not be in vain, that by the foolishness of preaching, that sinners shall be saved. Impress it upon all of our minds and of our hearts, the many blessings, the many privileges, but, O Lord, that they shall not have to make her condemnation the heavier. Thou hast declared in thy word, privileged cities, Capernaum, Bethesda, that when they did not repent, that it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of days than for them. There have also been great multitudes upon the world that had no desire to go up to thy house, also multitudes that have not heard the full truth. Lord, we humbly beg of thee in this evening hour for a rich blessing upon the proclamation of thy holy word. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation to that end. May it please thee to place arrows of love and conviction upon thy divine bow and shoot them into the hearts of the king's enemies, because by nature then we are enemies of free and sovereign grace. But wilt thou remember thy children? May in this evening, thou knowest how they have come up. There can be so many questions and so many riddles and the way of providence can seem so mysterious, and their sins a heavy burden. But, O Lord, then in this evening hour, then we hope to hear of that precious name, Jesus, who has come to save his people from their sins. May it be as that balm in Gilead for the daughters of Jerusalem, and in these passion weeks, that thy children may be led further and deeper into the mysteries of salvation. Do bless thy holy word in the midst of the church. Help the consistory to that end, who is sufficient unto these things. Wilt thou bless the labors in the midst of the family circles? Wilt thou remember husbands and fathers as head of the household, together with their wives, that they may be given to instruct their children in that aforesaid doctrine? Wilt thou bless thy word in the midst of our Christian school, when in the day of tomorrow it hopes to commence by renewal? May students and staff, may they have been refreshed. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help? Do grant traveling mercies. Wilt thou remember and help the school board when they hope to gather in this week? As so we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. May the number of thy servants, may they be increased. Grant also more teachers for our Christian schools. We commend unto thee the persecuted church, the Jewish people, mission work, also our mission field. Remember and help thy servants, the team, and remember the family who hope in the future to be sent to our mission field. Remember the nations of the earth in these solemn and serious times. Thy judgments are hanging low over the earth, where the earth has departed so far from thy word, from thy law, and from thy institutions. Also our nation continues on its downward spiral to destruction. We commend unto thee our leaders federally, provincially, ah Lord, they also have a soul that needs to be saved. May it please thee to impress upon the hearts that one day that they shall stand before the judge to give an account of whether they have judged this nation according to thy holy word. Wilt thou remember all the courts, the judges? May also upon their heart be impressed thy holy word. And thus saith the Lord, Lord, wilt thou grant unto thy church in these solemn and serious times to repent of evil and worldly ways? May we and our children be given to see the signs of the times, that we may be given to hasten for our life's sake, and by thy grace to find that hiding place under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel. Oh, impress upon all of our hearts that our time is short, that we are hastening to a never-ending eternity, Well, we're already nearly 2 months of this newly begun year have nearly run its course. And then for each and every one of us, then there is that one thing needful, that as a poor sinner to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, remember all the special needs, all the mourning ones in our midst, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Do continue to uphold them, and that the callings may be sanctified. Remember the elderly ones who have come in the evening of their life. Wilt thou remember them outwardly wherever they may be, where the infirmities, where the weakness only increase, above all. Do save their never dying souls. Remember all under the physician's care. When thou wast granted some healing, some strengthening, may they not forget thee, but may be given to humbly bow their knees, and not only with their mind, could it be with their heart by thy Spirit, to thank thee for thy blessings, and to humbly ask thee, unworthily, that thou may continue to grant healing and strengthening. Remember the difficulties of the body. Remember the difficulties of the mind. Do remember and encourage the handicapped ones. Remember the family circles. May love abound where it is different. Wilt thou grant repentance? What has been separated, wilt thou bring it together according to thy word, according to thy holy institution. Those that are struggling with temptations and addictions, Lord, may they be given to bow their knees, use the means. May it please thee to help and to deliver them, and that those ways may be used, that they may be accompanied, that they may be given to bow in the dust, concerned about their never-dying soul, about that one thing needful, Lord. Wilt thou continue to provide the daily bread for our family circles? We humbly ask thee in this evening hour, for thy Spirit, in speaking and in listening, Lord, may it please thee to favor us and our children with thy special blessing, with thy special presence, and with thy special favor, grand tokens in this evening of thy favor. And what greater tokens could thou grant, that when sinners would be converted, and when thy people may return to their dwellings with a blessing, Lord, we have to confess, wilt thou grant more an impression thereof, as that centurion of old has confessed, that he was not worthy, that thou would come under his roof, but, Lord, speak the word only, Lord, undeserved, forfeited. Our sins are great and manifold, but, we have sung that thy loving kindness, that it is good and free. Wilt thou so remember us and our dear children in the multitude of thy tender mercies, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 140, the four stanzas. O God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. And what follows? Psalter 140, the four stanzas. Beloved congregation, we have sung together with the sweet psalmist of Israel that he was given to pray for mercy. He was given to plead upon grace. Then in this Psalter, then we read the experience of the true people of God, young and old. Can we now find our life in this Psalter? Has the Lord begun that good work? Have we been drawn by the cords of love? Have we been given to see what a great sinner that we are, burdened with our sins, hastening and traveling to eternity, and that with our sins that we cannot appear before our Maker, that they need to be washed and cleansed, oh, young and old. That is a lesson that must be learned here in the time between the cradle and the grave by the free and sovereign grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit. How terrible it shall be to have to appear before our Maker with all our sins and young and old. And then it shall be too late. Then the prayer of this psalm, of this psalter and of this psalm shall be of no avail. But we are still in the precious day of grace. And to that end, may we be given to cry, to beg for a richer outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The thought of one in the midst of the congregation to go lost, to be sent to that place where there shall never be singing, oh, here below, it is interchanged between weeping and singing, oh, in glory above for the true church who have obtained mercy, then it shall be eternal praise, but in hell there shall only be cursing. Oh, people of God, how far may we come with this Psalter? Have we come because that is necessary? There can be much, but the need to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God and of that Son, that precious Jesus, we are called upon in this evening to speak about with the help of the Lord. Then we ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 11, the question and answers 29 and 30. Question 29, why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior. Answer, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins, and likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Question 30. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? Answer, they do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior, must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. Lord's Day 11 speaks of faith in Jesus, the Son of God, with three thoughts in the first place, a very necessary name. Secondly, an exceeding rich name. And thirdly, a dreadfully despised name. Faith in Jesus, the Son of God, a very necessary name, an exceeding rich name, and a dreadfully despised name. Thus first, a very necessary name, congregation. The last two Lord's days were given to consider the first article of the 12 articles, faith in God the Father, in the way of creation, and in the way of providence. And then we do well to examine all of our lives, how it is with that article, congregation. Do we really believe what we confess? Perhaps not so difficult when things go quite well and smoothly in our life. But when it pleases the Lord, and let us remember, congregation, when we despise God's holy word, then our trouble shall greatly increase. But when the Lord leads in ways of difficulties, then how mysterious that the way can be. In Lord's Day number 11, then the instructors, they make a beginning concerning the Son of God. The articles 2 through 7, 9 Lord's Days, and then concerning the Son of God. Then this article, then it begins with end. The three persons, they must be distinguished, never separated, and that shall be experienced in the way that the Lord leads his people. And now that end, when the Lord may reveal it, then what a wonder it becomes for a poor, for a needy, for an undone sinner who have experienced that they cannot save themselves, where mercy is their only hope. A triune God, because in that Trinity, therein lies a way for a sinner to be saved. If the Lord was not triune, then in his justice, then he would have to punish sin. Concerning the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. But now we read, ah, what a precious word that becomes in the way of experience, and that the Father has a Son whom he has sent into this world, that even the chiefest of sinners may be saved. Do we not read in John 14, the first verse, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me also. In John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then concerning the order in the scriptures, it is a logical order. First the Father, the Son, the begotten Son of the Father, and then the Holy Spirit, which proceeds from the Father and from the Son. But another thought, congregation, an other point, and in Jesus Christ, a connection with the first article concerning the last Lord's Day, the last question concerning the advantage of providence, patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and in all future things to place our trust in that faithful God. Ah, then how guilty we are. Then also concerning the first article, that we need the pardoning of our sins. And now this article that makes a beginning concerning that precious mediator between God and man, which has been declared in Lord's Day number 5 and in number 6. And then our young people, fathers and mothers, not the little children yet, but then the mediator must be known. Necessary that we are grounded and founded in the doctrines of God's word. But for the comfort of the child of God, ah, concerning that prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then for the comfort of the child of God, then it is so necessary that they are experientially led into those 5 ways. And then the first way, that the mediator must be known, that is in his names. In the second place, his natures. In the third place, his offices. Fourthly, his states. And in the fifth place, his benefits. And now concerning our Heidelberg Catechism, 3 Lord's Days, concerning the names of the mediator, then 3 Lord's Days concerning the state of his humiliation, followed by 3 Lord's Days concerning the state of his exaltation, including his natures and his offices. And now in this evening hour, then the instructors, they are given to speak of that precious name of Jesus, because we read, why is the Son of God called Jesus? That is a Savior answer, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. That declares, congregation, that by nature we are lost. Oh, through our deep fallen Adam, then the whole human race has been plunged into the deepest misery, the deepest depravity. Then we are not only going lost, congregation, may that be impressed upon all of our hearts, but that we are lost, that we are lying under the wrath of a just and a good-doing God, young and old. That precious name of Jesus, that means Savior, because he has come to save his people from their sins. May he ask you, have you now ever become, by the grace of God, by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, have you now become a sinner? Have you become a great sinner? Have you become a lost sinner? Have you become a sinner that has learned to cry for mercy? Because I read in Matthew 9, verse 12, they that are whole, they need not a physician, but they that are sick. And in Luke 19, verse 10, that Jesus, that he has come to seek and to save that those are lost. Oh, are there those souls that are laboring under their sin, that have learned that they cannot save themselves? Oh, when the Lord works, then it goes not in the first place to deliver from the consequences of sin, but from sin itself. Oh, we read in the Word of God that in the latter days that there shall be many false Christs, that there shall be many false saviors that declare unto us happiness, but it is all deceit. It is only short term. Oh, when we think of the thought, the human secularism of our day that only focuses on man and that thinks not of God, of his glory, of eternity, and of our never dying soul. Ah, young and old, we all desire for happiness, but the world not to despise the good things that the Lord grants unto us and our children. But we have a soul. We have a soul that needs to be saved, and that is stressed in our Lord's day. Ah, we have heard it. Then the instructors, each time by renewal, that vehement desire to extol that precious mediator as the way for poor sinners to be saved. He saveth this people from their sins. In the scriptures, three special words, sin, that means to transgress the law. That also means to miss the mark. Iniquities, that means to be twisted, to be warped, not profitable. Transgressions, that means to trespass a boundary. And now our sins, they are great, they are manifold. Ah, the Spirit teaches his church that they have sinned against all the commandments of the Lord. The Spirit teaches his people that they have sinned against his goodness, against his mercies. The Spirit teaches his church that they have sinned against his word, against the callings, against the sermons they have heard, where peace was proffered unto them, that precious name has been lifted up. Oh, in the further leadings, then the Spirit teaches his people not only the sin against the law, but the sin against the gospel, that with all their efforts they have counted the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ an unclean thing. He has come to save his people from their sins, the sins against the first, the sins against the second table, sins of commission, sins of omission, public sins, private sins. Oh, they have sinned against the mercies of the Lord's special providential callings. Oh, are there sinners in my midst? Because Jesus, he has come to save his people from their sins. And that is never a condition. No conditions to come. But concerning that precious mediator, by nature, oh, that we all may come. It's not one that may not come, boys and girls. The Word of God that comes to all of us. And I even read in Isaiah 18 verse 30 that the Lord is waiting to be gracious. Do not have examples in the Bible, those that have come with the burden of their sins. Oh, their faith was tested, it was tried, but they were not sent away. Thus all may come. What next? By nature, none will come. Because if we have not learned our sins, our sickness, that terrible disease, then we shall not come. Then we're the same as Pontius Pilate. What must they do with Jesus? We all have sins. But now in the third place, maybe point you can remember. All may come. That means congregation. If we go lost, it's all our own fault. May we be given to think about it. All our own fault. All may come. None will come. Read that in John 5 verse 40. Christ has said to the Jews, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. But now the wonder that by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that his people shall come as lost, poor, condemned sinners. Jesus, he has come to save his people from their sins. The question by renewal. Have you now become a sinner? Have you now become the sinner? You learn to cry, boys and girls, older ones, because of your sins, because of that separation. When there's love in the family circles, a dear one is taken away. What a mourning there is. People as described, Jesus has begun the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Our second thought, an exceeding rich name. Jesus, that name is derived from the Hebrew Joshua and Hosea, also types of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses, as a representative of the law, he has not brought the children of Israel into the promised land. That was Joshua. And as a captain, he has led the host against all those enemies. The land was conquered and the inheritance was divided. Thus Joshua as king. We read, when the children of Israel have returned from captivity, that they were led by Zerubbabel, the prince of the tribe of Judah, and Joshua the high priest of the tribe of Levi. And then in Zechariah 3, then Joshua the high priest as representative of the people, then he has stood there with filthy garments, accused by Satan, but has received other garments. Thus there we have Jesus typified in his priestly office, also the experience of a child of God. We read of the prophet Hosea the same meaning. There we have prophet. And now we read in our text words, because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins. Reverend Hellenbrook, has given that beautiful explanation when he is asked, what is the Savior that is one that delivers from the greatest evil and makes us partakers of the supreme good? Thus, that explanation, let us lay our hearts beside it and ask ourselves in our life, what is now the greatest evil? And there are many evils upon this world. The consequences of sin are great. But what is now the greatest evil in our life? Has that now, by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, become our sin? Have we experienced the exceeding bitterness of sin, that we have sinned against such a just, a good-doing God? Our sin that brings that separation, that breach, that we can never bridge over, shall not be strange for the true child of God. And what is now the desire of that people? That separation, that it may be done away with, that their sins may be pardoned, that they may be reconciled, to become partakers of that supreme good. And that is sweet communion, Lord, with thee. How is it, congregation, young and old? Give now an answer before an all-knowing God that sees what lives in our heart. Has that now become reality on account of that love that has been shed abroad in the heart by the work of the Spirit? The exceeding bitterness of sin, that separation, and with that vehement desire, then that people, then Psalter 140, that becomes so precious and so real, their only hope, we hope to hear it with our third thought, the church shall learn their only hope, that is mercy, mercy alone. Oh, burdened souls, what a precious Lord's Day for sinners, for burdened sinners, for lost sinners, for sinners that cannot save themselves, and yet sinners that cannot miss the Lord. Oh, sinners that are given to cry mightily unto the Lord, sinners that are given to cleave unto the Lord, then what a precious Lord's Day. Then in this evening, then that precious name may be declared, the precious name of Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. And is it not declared in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, what precious invitations to burden sinners concerning that mediator he has declared in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Oh, are there such souls? And when we read it closely, then it is not only once, but each time by renewal. Oh, blessed that people, because the instructors, they have not said, because he hath saved us and hath delivered us, a blessing when we may receive a hope outside of ourself in that precious mediator. But our instructors, they speak of the present. It is a continual work, for the true child. That wonder, each time by renewal, only becomes greater. And then we read of two matters, that he saveth us. He saveth us of our sins. He saveth us from our guilt. He saveth us from the punishment. But we also read that he delivereth us. He delivers the child of God from the dominion of the devil, from the power of sin, from the love to sin. And then concerning that saving and that delivering from our sins, then what a work was laid upon the mediator. Oh man, he lieth so lost through our deep fallen Adam, lieth in deep enmity against his creator, against free and sovereign grace, that none less could save a sinner but the eternal Son of God, co-essential, co-eternal with the Father, that he has assumed our human nature. Oh, Jesus, he was appointed from eternity, qualified in the time, and to that end, what a work was laid upon the Savior, that his people may go free, that it was necessary. His act of obedience, we have heard it in this morning hour also, when he has sung that hymn with his disciples, the act of obedience for the church, but also that passive obedience, because the justice of God requires that sin must be punished in us or in another. O congregation, may that be impressed upon all of our hearts. As I read in Habakkuk 1 verse 13, that the Lord is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and he cannot look upon iniquity. In his righteous justice, that he must punish each sin of thought, word, and deed. Oh, should that not be our concern? Our sins, our guilt, and traveling to eternity. Oh, maybe there are people that think it would have been better that I was never born. What a solemn thing it is to be a human being. But, oh, young and old, the Lord has given the precious gift of his word. It is declared that there is a Savior, and the Lord has appointed the means of grace with that promise that it shall not return vain, that by the foolishness of preacher, that sinners shall and must be saved. And therefore, young and old, faithfully use the means. Ah, may we be given to beg for a richer outpouring of a Spirit, that many may learn how lost they are, so undone, traveling to eternal destruction, but with a prayer for mercy. Or do you think, congregation, that the Lord, that the Spirit, that he shall uncover us to the evil of sin, the exceeding sinfulness of sin? Do you think that the Spirit shall draw by those cords of love? Do you think that the Spirit shall grant that soul shall taste of the good and sweet things of the Lord, the blessedness of the service of the Lord? Oh, do you think that souls that are given to cry in truth and uprightness, what we have sung together out of Psalter 140, that he shall let them perish? No, it cannot be, it shall not be, because I read in Philippians 1 verse 6, he being confident of this very thing, he that hath begun a good work in you shall finish it till the day of Jesus Christ. But young and old, it needs to be experienced. May there be no resting We live in a day that there is so much resting outside of that precious name of Jesus, but it is so indispensable, of our old fathers. They have stated so many times, of course, from the Lord's side, thou liest so firm, so sure, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. But our fathers have so often written, from man's side, outside of a saving knowledge of that precious name of Jesus, then it can still go either way. May that be impressed upon all of our hearts to save and deliver his people from their sins. Necessary that salvation is merited. And the second point, that it is applied. The Arminian, they also speak of grace in Jesus Christ. But where is now the difference? Then they tell us that dead sinners, by their will, then they must accept, receive that salvation, and as a consequence, to hold on to it. But the instructors, save us and deliver us from our sins. Let us first sing. Psalter 162, the two stanzas. My soul in silence waits for God. My Savior, he has proved. He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. And what follows? Psalter 162, the two stanzas. Jesus, the Son of God. A very necessary name. Faith in Jesus, the Son of God. A very necessary name. An exceeding rich name. And now thirdly, a dreadfully despised name. Then in the answer of question 29, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. And then stressed in question 30, do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else. Then the instructors, they speak of people that are seeking. Are you seeking, congregation? Are you included in that word? Of course, we are all seeking. And we are seeking for happiness. But are you now described in those two sentences? To seek salvation, do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation. Thus it is speaking of a people that are concerned, souls that are thinking of eternity, believing they have a soul, people that feel that they cannot die the way they are, thus they are seeking for salvation. Are we included? Have you begun to seek? And if not, may I ask you why not? Can you give an answer? If you have not begun yet, when do you think that you shall begin to seek for that one thing needful? Do you think, boys and girls and young people, we do not all become old? When we are young, that is such a precious time. For older ones, is then your answer, when I am not so busy, when shall that be? And there's only one step between us and death. May it please the Lord this evening hour to bless His word, that you may become a seeker. Then the next question is, are these questions now necessary to ask concerning the salvation of sinners? Whether we must seek salvation in any other? Because we have the Bible. Acts 4 verse 12, then Peter and John were given to declare, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And we have been taught from our youth that Jesus is that perfect Savior, that He can save to the uttermost, and that He saves His people from all their sins. And yet the question, are there souls that understand it? How was that now learned? Of course, we must be founded in the truth of God's word, but that is learned experientially. We are so bound up in that covenant of works. We read in Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46, that there was a merchantman that was trading in goodly pearls. And the true church of God, what precious pearls that they find, they would not want to trade it with anything in the world. Those are the blessed gifts that Christ has merited for His people. But the true church of God, they shall learn experientially. And that is not so easy for the flesh and difficult for our pride to learn with all our prayers, with all our repentance shall not be missed, with all our tears, with all our works, that we are a guilty sinner still. 'Tis a blessing when by the deeper uncovering work of the Holy Spirit to do less sin and to become a greater sinner and to learn and to understand that not a penny to pay our debt, but that it is only becoming greater. Those souls, they shall understand the meaning of the instructor. Then those souls, they do not first think of a Roman Catholic that speak of a helping Savior, but that have to add their works. But they are given to turn unto themselves, and concerning this matter, then the child of God is given to see it most of the time when they are given to reflect backwards what they have experienced with their hopes, with their disappointments. Then the instructors, they have spoken, seek their salvation and welfare of saints. The true child of God cannot do it with the thoughts and the opinions of a true child of God. It is true. Many times there are those that are further led that they can have more hope for an other one. Oh, think of Nehemiah, was clear. The work of the Lord in the heart of Ruth. But what does the true child of God need? They need to hear it out of His own mouth of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? And then the answer, they do not. For though the boast of him in words can be a beautiful confession, people, but the instructors have spoken, yet in deeds they deny Jesus. We could speak of different matters. For those that confess beautiful things, speak of the priestly office of Christ, speak of the pardoning of their sins, but a life not conformable to God's word, then we must place a big question mark. It is true. The child of God can fall very deeply. Think of David. We have sung with him, but each time by renewal brought to repentance, but now in the way of experience ought to learn. And that is now the wonder of grace concerning the salvation of the soul. If anything, one sigh, one upright sigh had to be added, it would be lost. And that is now the wonder of free and sovereign grace. Oh, in our Lord's day, then that pearl of great price, as we read in Matthew 13, verse 46, may be proclaimed in his fullness and in his riches, that the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sins, O other than souls in my midst, burdened with that burden of their sins, who have tried so hard to satisfy the law, to pay that debt, and in this evening, filled with many fears, you thought that it would go so different, holier and holier. And now a sinner still, under a demanding justice, then it may be proclaimed in this evening that precious Jesus, who has come to save his people from their sins, to restore them into that blessed communion. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. We read in Romans 8 verse 31, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Young and old, be honest. What does the name Jesus mean to you? Has he ever become necessary? Has he ever become so suitable and so precious? Because he has come, O eternal, unfathomable love has come to save his people. We have read together out of Philippians 2, and then we read, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, young and old, we shall all bow before the King. The Lord has a people. Oh, it is true, many bitter things, many times as the publican, to smite upon their breast, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, with all their wanderings, with all their backsliding, with their lukewarmness. The list is long, but they have learned by the grace of God to willingly bow with that desire that he may be glorified. But young and old, if that does not take place, oh, the Lord still calls. Beg the Lord that he may bend the stiff knees of your heart, that you may fall before the Lord. With Psalter 140, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. To still, the precious day of grace could be the last Sabbath day that we have upon the earth. And then how is it with your soul in this evening? Oh, if there shall not be a willing bowing, then in the day of days shall be unwilling, but bow we shall. The precious name of Jesus, he has come to save his people from their sins. I ask you once more, young and old, have you ever become a sinner? Have you become the lost sinner? Have you become a great sinner? Has there even been a time, oh, is there a chiefest of sinners in my midst in this evening? He has come to save his people from their sins. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. Yet a few words to speak. Who was able to declare the riches of that precious Savior? Lord, by renewal we beg of thee, work lovingly, irresistibly, in the hearts of young and old. Ah, do begin that good work in the life of the unconverted. Spare us that we build not upon sandy foundations. And wilt thou lead thy people further in the precious things of the Lord. We may commence another week. Ah, Lord, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou keep us? Wilt thou watch over us? Wilt thou care for us and our children? Help the mothers in the home, in the midst of the family circle with the children, the daytime, the night watches. Wilt thou remember at work, at school, remember our youth, what you're studying in higher institutions of learning. Wilt thou watch over them, and wilt thou remember on the way. Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger, keep us from sin and temptation. Bring us together tomorrow evening with the youth. May that instruction be blessed. Work from generation to generation. Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another. Bring us now safely to our dwellings and forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 420, the fifth stanza, let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. And what follows Psalter 420, the fifth stanza. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.